Well, I'd like to introduce our guest this morning. We've got Kevin and his lovely wife, Angela, who have travelled all the way from Perth. They ran into some weather problems on their way over, so it took them 24 hours of re-diverted flights to get here. So we were just trusting that God would give them just the sleep of the righteous last night. And
yes.
And so I'd just like to take a moment to introduce Kevin. First of all, I have great respect for those who have served their country and the military. And Kevin served in the military for 24 years. He's one of those men who was prepared to go back again and again. He's done four tours. He's seen some pretty horrendous stuff on the field as a soldier. He's lost friends in battle. And he was discharged in 2014. In 2013. And he's here to tell us an incredible story today. And the reason why we've taken the time and the expense to bring him all the way here is that his story is very new. It's not even 6 months old yet. And the world needs to hear. I've had his story verified by doctors. And you're about to hear one of the most astounding modern-day miracles of our time, of what's taken place in Kevin's body. So, Kevin, we invite you to come forward. Ain't you going to come and say anything? You're all right.
Awesome. All righty, guys, I just want to pray first, if that's all right. Lord, be with me this morning, Father God. Give me the words to speak and the wisdom to speak them, Lord. Open hearts this morning and, Lord, overflow with your love and your goodness. Amen. Two verses. I've spoken for a few places, and every time I've got up, God's told me not to use what I had because it's not me. So here we go. It's this Psalm 61:2. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is overwhelmed and weak, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, a rock that is too high to reach without your help. Yeah. And the other one is Proverbs 4:20. My son, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Open your ears to my sayings. I've come across a bit of opposition recently, and it's not you haven't been healed, you haven't done this. They've questioned why. You know, they've asked me why you? I've only been a Christian for 2011. And that's not only because God loves us all equal, and he's not a God that works from the past. It's from the now and the future. Alrighty, here we go. I grew up in Brisbane, West Brisbane, in a suburb called Inala. Well, actually, we didn't grow up. We fought up. You know, lovely parents, beautiful brother, awesome sister. Joined the army at 17 and a half. At 16 and a half, the magistrate said to me, after the fourth time I fronted him, get some structure, regimental attitude and heavy hand. I already had the papers from like 12 years old, so got you, mate. Like Pastor James said, four tours. I seen some pretty nasty things that people do to people, only because of religion. I just want to go through one, Cambodia. 2.2 million Christians got slaughtered by the Khmer Rouge in 12 or 15 years. Yeah. And that's for believing in God. He's the only one. So, in Cambodia, we did a lot of chopper work. Anyway, the chopper came down and did all its fancy banks, you know, to get away. Hovered. You're supposed to drop down on the rope. I fell 25 feet, busted both feet, busted my right hip was shattered, both collarbones, the radius bone on my right arm. When they came down, my finger, my trigger finger, was actually twisted around and facing at the back of the rifle. Still had my weapon. The other three guys roped down. They were fine. Took 45 minutes for a chopper to come back because of where it was. Chopper came back. I got put on. And, I don't remember much from that point for about 3 or 4 weeks because I was I was in Cambodian hospital, the only white man, for 9 months. Lived on fish heads and rice. Oh. I didn't want no rice when I got home. 9 months it took. I couldn't fly straight away because when I fell, my face just shattered, the right side of my face. When the other guys came down, I had my right eye in my hand, holding it in my head. I've showed Angela the real photos, the surgery photos, but yeah, they're not appropriate for here. Anyway, I came back after 9 months. A few weeks later, they sent me over to East Timor. I couldn't hold a weapon, let alone fire a rifle, let alone do anything. So I came back and I got discharged. But I wasn't like discharged, I was on a, I was still enlisted, but my discharge was coming because of medical and, you know, psychological and stuff like that. Anyway, I got discharged. And between 2012 and today, 33 operations, 13 pain procedures, which they inject cortisone into your spine, bones, ankles, and it rots the bone. I suffered long and hard in pain. I formed a morphine habit because I was on liquid morphine plus codeine and 23 antipsychotics, uppers and downers. 23. I met my new surgeon, my new psychiatrist. I just wanted help. He gave me the help. He introduced me to doctors and surgeons that are all Christian-based. You know, the only one that wasn't Christian-based is the hip surgeon, but that's okay, we're working on him. And then over that time, I got to 182 kilos. So it was me and Pastor James together. I couldn't move. My feet looked like elephant feet. I had to use two canes to walk. 50-year-old bloke riding on one of those electric scooters. It's not good for the, you know, the feel. Anyway, I had a gastric sleeve. So they'd go in, cut your stomach from top to bottom, fold it in on itself, staple it up. And in 3 weeks, I lost 32 kilos, and then it sort of slowed down to about, you know, fighting weight of about 98 kilos, which is good. The thing that's wrong with that is the fat that I had was actually holding my spine together. It was holding my feet together. I lost the weight, awesome, but then that presented another problem. They had to redo surgeries. Simple fact is, there's no fat there anymore. So started, I've busted 7 vertebrae in my spine, 2 in the thoracic, my whole lumbar, my sacroiliac joint, which is in between the pelvis. It's a soft, flexible joint. They had to fuse that because it was cracked. They redid those. Now, my right hip, 2019, I had to get that redone because I was septic. Military surgeon put pins, not the whole joint, just 2 pins. And, well, yeah, he kills the blood to the bone. So that rotted it. And in October 2019, he redid that. And as he was getting it out, it crumbled in his hands. I was about 60 to 70% anecrosis, which is, yeah, septic. And he said to me, if I didn't do it then, Kevin, you'd be dead by Christmas. Yeah, look, the part that hurts the most is the, or did hurt the most, is the psychological stuff. I was diagnosed with chronic complex PTSD. Like Pastor James, I seen mates right beside me take a bullet, and that's the part that hurt. The pain, you know, I'll go through that 10 times over if it comes with no cycle, you know. And through Dr. Chu, my psychiatrist, I met an awesome neurosurgeon. He looked at my back, and they were worried because the two vertebrae between my shoulders were spurs, and they were growing inside my spinal canal. So, it hurt. He did the lower five in my SI joint again. The reason he did those is because, well, they were broken bones, you know. He did those. My feet, I've had both feet pinned. They're all right, you know, they were there. Radius bone, he had to redo that because when they set it out on an angle because it was a compound fracture, so it was sort of pushing through my skin. My face. I lost 80% of my teeth when I fell. For 2.5 years, I was still pulling gravel and stuff out of my gums. For 2.5 years, I had no teeth. Minced meat and mashed potato. And then 7 metres of wire, 7 screws. I had wire. It was anchored in the bone just underneath my nose. They ripped wire around that and they just inserted it through the bone of my eye socket. I used to be able to fit my thumb into the dent and, well, yeah, it's not there. My nose, they tried to do that and, well, you know, I sort of, yeah, I think it's a pretty good look at myself. But and then my teeth, I had, because I had just gums, they pulled all the roots out and they put 4 implants, 2 at the front and 2 at the back, top and lower. Yeah, and then they put those. They gave me new teeth that I could take out and clean. And then it was all right. I went through a stage of woe is me, wada shoulda coulda. I had the baddest attitude, you know. People would speak into my life, and I'd just reject it. You know, if someone would be, they'd come up to me with the verse, and I'd just walk off. You know, I didn't. I knew God, I gave my life to God, but I didn't know how to get over that psychological thing. In that, there's 2 suicide attempts. Both failed, thank God. But I still had that psychological hatred for everyone and anything. Turned my back on God and said, well, mate, if you're real, why am I here? Why have I got this? And slowly but surely, a dear friend of mine back in Perth, he's married, so that's okay, introduced me to Ange. Before that, I had the whole works attitude. Get up in the morning, pray to God for healing, repent of what I did yesterday. He doesn't remember it, so why repent it? Now and future, and I just asked God, I turned around and I said, please help, give me, and he introduced me to my best mate. Through him, I met my beautiful wife, and through my beautiful wife, I met her parents. Last November, they were over in Perth, and I didn't have that really good grace. I didn't know that, well, I already had it in me. But they spoke that into me. You know, so there's 3 people that I need to thank, is my wife and my mum and dad. Before that, I didn't have parents, you know. I lost my parents early. You know, my dad died 20 years ago, mum died 19 and a half years ago. I thought the military was, but once I got Once I couldn't do what I was trained to do, you know, I was gone. Slowly but surely, over the 5-6 weeks, Mum and Dad started talking into me, you know, Kevin, you've got it, Grace and so forth, spending the time with Ange. Then I was good. I started helping younger vets. And then the psychological stuff started creeping back in, you know, because I'm reading files that kids are going through much worse than I did. And started affecting Angela and I. I sort of sat there one night and I just prayed and I said, Lord, I don't want it to hurt me, but I want to keep helping these kids. And then he said, just quit, but do it for yourself again. You know, I wasn't working for anyone else then and did it for myself and it was awesome. You know, I met some really, really great people. You know, mums, dads, young veterans, two cases that sort of took me to the end. Basically one girl I helped, I thought I'd helped, but I thought I'd failed, but she took a life. Second was a young vet, 29, three kids and a wife, and he took his life. And that's the thing that started sinking me down, you know. He said, just leave, you know, and so I did. I started doing it for myself again. You know, Kevin could turn up to somewhere in a pair of thongs, singlet and shorts, and they like it. I didn't have to wear a suit, tie thing every day. I did that. Then, 24th of April this year, and I'm saying the 24th because what I'm about to tell you would stick into your mind as well. I had pain, and I'm talking intense, you know, worst pain I'd had since the injury, since the accident. My jaw, because I had that replated in 2020. My right hip started hurting, and I stayed away from the pain relief because, yeah, that masked it for a while, but then it turns into drinking liquid morphine out of the bottle. I went back to my psych. We had a really good talk. He introduced me before that to my pain surgeon. I didn't want the injections anymore because of the cortisone rotting bones, but I did. After, and then 28th of April, I woke up. I had pain, but didn't hurt. You know, it was there, but I wasn't, rah! I had to go to the hospital and have a hip surgeon's review. And so they take the x-ray. They usually take front and side. This time they took four. I didn't know what was going on. I'm like, oh, here we go. Angela, bring my pajamas in. I honestly thought I was going to get cut again. They pushed me into a cubicle, closed the curtains, and I just started, I started that whole why is me. Every time I'd been there before, there's a pastor, his name's Brian. He came up, we'd pray, we'd talk, we'd have a good chat, and he started bringing up verses that, healing. What do you mean? I'm full of steel. What do you mean healing, kid? Radiographer walked in, stood at the end of the bed, and he was white. I looked at him, and he's saying, well, we can't find it, and I didn't really care about that. I said, where's Brian? He said, Kevin, Pastor Brian passed away 9 months ago. That was 9 months before the 28th of April. And the scriptures that he was bringing into my life was stuff that, I don't know, I just didn't comprehend before. Anyway, Ray Orff is standing there and he's like, we can't find it. And at first, I was, me and my silly sense of humor, going, well, go and look for it. But then he said, no, because this is the same radiographer that's done 99% of my work. We can't find your implant from 2019. It's all bone. And then, anyway, it's like, really? And then, yeah, I went home and I'm at home and I'm like, Ange came home from work. I was standing in the kitchen against the bench. She looked at me and said, how'd you go? And I said, 'cause they can't find it. And I go, what? And she said, you've been healed. And I'm going, but they can't find my hip. You know? And then we sort of rang my mum and dad, and we're only rang a few people. You know, I didn't want to say much until I got my head around it. My spinal surgeon rang up, and this is a guy that you've got to wait 6 to 9 months. I didn't wait 6 to 9 hours. Come and see me, because he got CC'd on that X-ray. And he, wow. That's all he could say. You know, he's a beautiful, great bloke. I give him heaps of business. you know, and then he said, I'm not even going to send you for another X-ray scan. He said, God just doesn't heal one. He heals you all. And I'm thinking, here we go. But then I got an email saying, go on the Monday for a full body X-ray. And a nuclear bone scan. And I don't know if you've had a nuclear bone scan, but they inject you with nuclear dye. So that dye soaks into the bone where it's all wrong. Had those, and I was sick. I was sick from it. Anyway, it came Wednesday night. You know, Ant and I prayed. Ant rang her mum, and they prayed while I was laying on the bed, and all my joints just like claw. You couldn't pull them apart. I went to sleep after they prayed. The next morning, I'm like, wow, I feel good. No sickness at all. Went and seen my surgeon, and he's Kevin, and he couldn't talk. He just, wow. He said, all that spinal implant stuff we put in there, all the hardware is gone, it's all bone. And I sort of, I think to now I'm still going, this is, yeah, how. Went and seen my face surgeon. And as I said, I lost 80% of my teeth. My jaw, basically the whole right side of my face, upper and lower jaw, with the plates was 7 meters of wire. Jessica Chung, she's a Buddhist. Your God works. You know? It was all gone. I had pins, bolts in my feet. They were just basically straight up. Gone. All bone. When I went, I spoke in Geraldton there a little while ago, and there's a radiographer that actually came up, and we prayed for her son, and she said, I've been doing this for 17 years. And she said, they are the bones of a 17 to 20 year old. We got home. We got home, and I'm sitting on the edge of the bed, and I'm just like, I had prayed for new bones of a young man. He did it. And the radius bone, you can't even tell that it was broken. It's perfectly aligned without plate on it. What else have I got? What else did I have? The one thing that the healing's easy to get. It's there. We've just got to ask for it and receive it. It's easy. Keeping it is the hard thing. Those little seeds come into your mind of, oh, it's back there, you know. And then that seed might not turn into something today, but it'll turn into something tomorrow and the next day. So without ado, I'll show you some pictures. Alrighty. The one on the upper right there, that was my face before. Like the one down below, well, you can see all the wire holding my jaw and so forth. The run on this side, that's my face now.
Wow.
That's it, nothing. And the top one is the military surgeon. Like I said, when he did that, he killed the blood supply to the bone, turned me septic. 2019, Dr. Whitewood did that one. The one on this side, well, that's it now.
Wow.
That's it now. That's just a finding from one of the x-rays. Yeah, you guys can read it there. It's just unremarkable. There's no evidence of reported hip surgery. And that one before it was the one that the radiographer said to us, they're the bones of a 17 to 20-year-old. And the one on the left is military surgeon. Below that, that's the surgery. They had to redo it because they had to re-break the bone to align it. The one on this side is, well, now, all gone. Next one is the top one. That's the sacroiliac joint. They bolts into it and they put a paste, because the sacroiliac joint is really hard to fuse because of its softness and its spot. Well, it worked, you know. The one down below, that's it now. My sacroiliac joint is really good looking. No. Sorry, Lord. And then, if we could go next. I've only got the right foot, because if I put them all up, look, there was 14,500 images in those years. So that's what it was, and that's it now. Yeah. This one is surgery that neurosurgeon had to fix up, because back in the day, they wired them together, and then they took a chunk of bone off your right, or one of your hips, pounded into like a powder, put some glue or something with it, and just pack it around the wire. That started to decay off. That was it, and this is it now. Yeah. I'm the good-looking bloke with the radio in his ear, and the other guy on this side is a good mate who took his life because of the things that we've seen over there. So, you know, I love the man. He's in a good place now. I can say, you know, I've learnt really hard, really fast. You know, I get the right words that take me to where I need to be in the book. You can stand there and say, oh, you know, great, I'm healed, go home. And like, don't put that seed into your mind, you know. It's always, no, I'm not, I'm good. What wire? What thumb? What bone? I spent some time at the hospital, and the reason I do that is because they asked me to. They found it, and when Brian came into the picture, and if I kick my toe and it hurts, I'm like, get out! And the staff think it's really good because they've got some bit of comedy. But that's it. That's all I say now. Get out. Don't let it back into your lives, because for a second time, there may not be a second time. You know, our God is good. I am blessed immensely, immensely. I've got a beautiful wife, good mum and dad, family, Uncle Graham and Auntie Barb. Thank you. You guys accepted me when I came over last year. You treated me with nothing but respect, and you taught me about some bottles, Uncle Graham, that I'll never forget. So, yeah, thank you. Thanks for listening. I'm not a polished stone, you know. I'm not a preacher or anything. I'm just a bloke who went to hell for his country 4 times, came back alive, many didn't. It's raw, it's me, and it's the only way that my good friend and father in heaven will allow it to be. No, If there's something that you've got a question on, just come up and speak to me after, you know. And I can answer anything you need. I just can't speak it because I'm not rehearsed in it, you know. So, yeah, thanks, guys.
We can see you being through it, brother. For those of us that haven't ever engaged in military warfare in the natural, we have no idea what these soldiers go through. The psychological impact that's obviously affected Kevin over the years. And to see a miracle of this proportion, you can see Kevin's just the real deal. He's just Kev. And he's just, all he's doing is sharing this incredible miracle that took place in his life. But I'm here as a preacher to tell you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same Jesus that has supernaturally removed 17 pieces of metal from Kevin's body. I mean, you're talking about some serious stuff here. You're talking about spinal fusions gone in the blink of an eye. Kevin, we can't find it. Can't find what? We can't find the hip replacement that went into your body. The radiographer said there is nothing unremarkable. We can't even see where you've had surgery in your right hip. And Kevin didn't mention, but also when those metal implants that he had to hold his plate into place afterwards, they've gone too. So God removed the metal in his gums as well. It's just an incredible miracle. And I'd just like to finish by reminding us about another story in Mark's Gospel chapter 3. Where there was a man who all of his life had suffered. He had a withered arm. It was basically like a shriveled up prune. He couldn't use it. He was totally immobile on that side of his body. And he would come to church every week. And one day Jesus went to church and stood up and shared a verse from the scripture, this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, that the blind would see and the lame would walk." And that day, there were religious people present in that meeting because it was the Sabbath, and they were there to accuse Jesus of healing a sick man because he was doing work on the Sabbath. And despite all the critics waiting for him, Jesus came right into the meeting and he asked the man, he said, "Arise, stand up." And I don't know about you, but if you've got a handicap that's very obvious, how would you feel if I said to you today, "Stand up," and everybody in the room is looking at you? And this man stood up with the withered arm. And then Jesus gave him one more instruction. He said, "Step forward." And that's the key I want to leave with you today. Is that not only does God want you to arise from whatever condition or situation that you may be facing, whether it be mental, psychological, whether it be physical impairment of some kind today. The word of God to you this morning is arise. And if you want to meet the healer today, step forward and allow him to touch your body. And the last thing I want to say as we finish this meeting this morning is simply this. You may not be physically impaired like Kevin was. Maybe even mentally you're doing okay this morning. But there's one condition that all of mankind faces, and it's a disease we all carry, and it's called sin. And it's our natural tendency to live life without God, to walk away and not have him present in our life, to do our own thing and go our own way. And that attitude of heart, that attitude of sin, it separates us from God. And many people are crying out, "Well, God, are you really there?" And he's there, and he's ready to all those who call upon his name. He's ready to answer you this morning if you will call in faith. And he's saying to all of us this morning, arise, stand up, and step forward. And today, not only can you know physical healing, but you can know healing in your soul. Your sins can be forgiven. You can have a brand new start. Old things have passed away. God can make all things new within your life. And He can make us new creations in Him. And there's many in this room who have testified to the fact that their lives have been completely revolutionized in one moment of time when they asked God to forgive them for their sins. We're a miracle, a creative miracle takes place where He takes out your heart of stone and He gives you a heart of flesh, and you can become a new creation today and make a fresh start in your life today with God, not without Him. And so my plea to those present today is firstly and foremostly is that Jesus wants to heal your soul.
Yeah.
He wants to cause you to be born from above, to have a second birth, to be born again and experience this life-giving power of a personal connection and relationship with God. God will no longer be afar off to you, but He will be near, even to the very breath where you call upon His name. He shall answer you. And I want to tell you how much that's worth today, that in a society that is racked with anxiety, that is filled with unforgiveness, with relational difficulties, with a very gloomy economic outlook in the day that we live in. And I want to tell you today that God can walk with you and you can walk with Him for the rest of the days of your life and never know that feeling of loneliness ever again, because He will be right there by your side. So maybe today God is speaking to your heart. And I'd just like us, as we finish the meeting, just to stand to our feet if we could. For one moment, if we could just stand to our feet. I'm not here to embarrass anybody, but I want to tell you something. That man with the withered arm would have never, ever, ever experienced a healing unless he was prepared to stand up and be identified. And today, Jesus Christ would like you to be willing to be identified as someone that is saying, I've tried it without you, God. Now I think it's time that I tried it with you. And if that's you this morning, I would like to be able to lead you in a prayer. And in this prayer, you're asking God to connect you with Him and Him with you. It's called being born again by the Spirit of God. And it will happen to anybody who calls upon Him with a genuine heart and a heart of faith. And I sense there's a number of people in the room today that need to pray this prayer. And it's the beginning of a new walk and a new life for you. And maybe not everything will miraculously change in a twinkling of an eye for you today, but something will happen to you, and that is that you will be aware of the Creator, you will be aware of His creation all around you, and suddenly you will never know that feeling of loneliness ever again in your life. If we could just close our eyes for a moment. I'm going to ask the question just shortly. Would you like to receive Jesus Christ into your life and become that new creation? If that's you, as our heads are bowed, would you identify yourself and say, yes, Pastor James, I would like you to pray for me. If that's you, can I see your hand this morning? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You. God bless you up the back. Is there anybody else? God bless you at the front here. God bless you at the back. Wonderful. Just a moment longer. I'm going to ask anybody else. Is there anybody else? You might be right on the precipice today and you're saying, well, I'm not sure about this, Pastor James. Look, we're unsure about a lot of things in life. But this one thing I'm telling you today, you can be 100% confident that God will be your personal. He will be your personal aid. He will be right by your side through the thick and the thin of the rest of the days of your life. So I want to thank those who are courageous enough. You may put your hands down. If that's you this morning, you may put your hands down. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And this is to help you engage. And so as you follow me in this prayer, you're not talking to Pastor James. You're talking to Jesus this morning. And you're asking Him to come into your life. So let's pray that prayer right now. If you could follow me, perhaps church, if you could help us today and everyone could repeat this prayer of salvation, this prayer of saving power, this prayer to cause these people who are about to pray this prayer to be born again and made into a new creation. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I thank you for sending your Son.
Thank you for sending your Son.
To die on the cross.
Die on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
This morning I'm praying.
This morning I'm praying.
And I'm asking you to forgive me. For every sin in my life. Cleanse me now. Wash me clean. Make me new. I call upon the name of the Lord.
I call upon the name of the Lord.
The Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
And I ask you, Lord Jesus.
I ask you, Lord Jesus.
To enter my life.
Into my life.
I receive you into my heart.
I
receive you into my body.
I receive you into my body.
And I thank you today.
I thank you today.
That's exactly where you are now.
That's exactly where you are now.
And I ask you.
I ask you.
To help me. Every day of my life. Moving forward. To guide me. To lead me. To reveal yourself to me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning.